This is Steve Allen's A Little Bit Extra, leading Britain's conversation. You're listening to our podcast of Steve Allen.
Hello there. I don't mean to be presumptuous, but if you're listening to this, then you may also be a fan of the Steve Allen The Whole Show podcast. If you are, then this information is for you. From mid-December, Steve Allen The Whole Show podcast will be available exclusively on Global Player. It's still 100% free, it's still The Whole Show, and it's still utterly brilliant. But you won't be able to find it on any other platform other than Global Player. If you haven't already got Global Player, it's dead easy to get hold of. Here's what you need to do. You either download it from your app store or visit globalplayer.com. Once you've got it, simply go to the podcast section and search for Steve Allen, The Whole Show. If you're listening on Alexa, just say, Alexa, open Global Player and play Steve Allen, The Whole Show podcast. Thank you. Morning, everybody. Welcome along to your free podcast for today, Friday, Freitag, January the 27th, 31 days in this month. But you've been paid, and I bet you're going mad because you've got all the bills in and all the other bits and bits. What a nightmare. What a nightmare. Busy, 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 and busy in the world of television as Joanna Gosling. Most people have no idea who she is. Seriously, she's a newsreader. She's been around for, since 1999. And she said goodbye. Basically, she's leaving one company, presumably to go to another company. So she decided to do a farewell, you know, saying, oh, thank you very much. She took voluntary redundancy. So she's not walked away with nothing. She's walked away with money. A lot of people don't even get that. But she's a presenter and journalist. And she says, you know, she came off air just for 1 p.m. and she thanked the viewers and the colleagues and all the rest of it. But she'll be replaced and it'll be somebody else. She's an auto cutie. She reads the auto cue and that's it. And she didn't like the fact the BBC were merging its international and domestic news channels. And so she started by saying, now it's about time for me to say goodbye for the last time. Well, it won't be the last time. You know, she'll pop up somewhere else reading an auto cue. I don't know why they make such a big bloody deal about it. You know, she's earned a serious amount of money. And then she goes, oh, this is for the last time. Well, it won't be because you'll be going, unless you've saved up a small fortune, be going somewhere else. That, you know, the BBC must be going, oh, my God, Father, shut her up, for goodness sake. Because a few of them are going to do it. They've taken voluntary redundancy, which, you know, a lot of people do nowadays. She didn't fit into their plans. I always thought she was perfectly pleasant. She seemed quite a nice person. But she's an auto cutie. They read the auto cue. Somebody puts her words. She doesn't put them on auto cue. They're put on by somebody else. You know, if you work for the BBC, I mean, there's about 10 people doing your job. Go and watch a BBC radio programme going out. You'll be horrified at what a terrible waste of humankind there is on these programmes. I used to have a friend of mine who used to work on one of their top-rated shows, so to speak, and he was one of the phone operators. He wasn't even in the same building as the presenter. You know, they're so backwards at the BBC. You know, it's very embarrassing, really, very embarrassing. But, you know, it's like when Ken Bruce left. You know, they didn't push him. He decided to leave because he got a better offer. They make such a big deal about it now. I mean, it's easy for the papers. They were able to put in, oh, the BBC don't like anybody over the age of 12, you know, working and all that kind of thing. And some people it works, like Gary Lineker, he'll sit down and take his £1 million a year, whatever it happens to be. And, you know, that's it. He's the highest paid presenter. But you can't blame him. That's what his agent negotiates with the BBC. If they want to pay him that much, that's their problem. It's got nothing to do with us, except it's our money. Thank you very much indeed. Meanwhile, over on Love Island, yes, we've had the fake hair girls. And this time, sorry, Lana Jenkins. There's a name to conjure with. You'll have to change that, dear, to sort of Lana Sapphire or something like that. Lana Jenkins doesn't sound too good, does it? Anyway, she was fighting back tears after yet another girl took Ron away from her. He's my boyfriend and I want him back. She says Ron hadn't met his match despite him and Lana being a fan favourite with Love Island viewers. It's a reality show, darlings. It's a reality show. Get over yourself. Nobody gives a stuff about you. And as Ron went to sit with his new partner, a very unimpressed Lana. I mean, she's Miss Misery. Miss Misery. Little tantrum. Oh, daddy's little princess. What a boring old bag you are, dear. But Ellie got him. But you know, unimpressed Lara whispered, Lana, not moaning much, come off it. He's handsome. I don't think he's met his match yet. Listen, darling, he's found somebody better. He's found somebody who doesn't moan, who doesn't be a, you know, he's not a drip or anything else. And just remember, it's a little reality show. Nobody forced you to join it. You must have seen it before. I mean, come on. It's been the same like that for ages and ages. Admittedly, I think it's fairly repetitive. I think it's very dull, very uninteresting. But, I mean, you know, to be sort of, you know, fighting back tears is somewhat pathetic, dear. That's what 10-year-olds do. But there you go. I mean, how old is she? A bit difficult to tell, actually. They haven't put her age down. I'm assuming 15. I don't know. I couldn't tell these things. Bruno Tonioli, accused of breaking the rules on Britain's Got Talent. Well, that's what he was put in for. He was put in. They know what he's like. He does the same act all the time. Fantastic. He does the same act. It's a feeble, campy little act. And so he's been accused of breaking rules. But what they've got is publicity. That's all it comes down to. You have to understand all these things, they're done for a reason. They're done for publicity. It doesn't matter whether you like Bruno or you just think he's an affable queen. It makes no difference. He's getting publicity for the show, and the publicity is the thing that gets you ratings. God knows. It's very difficult to have to explain to some really dim people out there who say, I'm a real fan, you know, but I don't think Bruno was the right person. Mind you, have you seen how boring Alan Carr is? Him and Amanda Holden have got this show. I mean, they've said it's like watching paint dry. You know, Alan Carr is not a great presenter. He's just another campy presenter. You know, nothing you could do about it. How much for the I'm a Celebrity stint? Matt Hancock, $320,000. But he's decided to share his plans to donate more than his MP's salary to charity. Do you know, I'd so like to see David Beckham donating the money he got from that homophobic state to charity. That would be lovely, isn't it? Rod Stewart's doing it. Perhaps David Beckham's a bit tight in the old wedges, you know, department, where he's sort of having to give the money away. They don't do anything, do they? I'd love to know what their money goes to, how many charities the Beckhams actually support, because of the amount of crap publicity they get. It is very, very embarrassing. Very embarrassing. And Matt Hancock, dull, boring, uninteresting. He got paid $320,000. So, makes no difference. That was what his agent managed to negotiate for him. Good for him. Good for him. And then he's doing another one, isn't he? Because he obviously likes it. Well, the trouble is, two will be enough for him. You'll suddenly realise he's about as boring as wallpaper paste. Holly Willoughby gets the giggles on this morning. Co-host Philip Schofield reluctantly introduces a segment on trimming your bush. I mean, you know, Philip, for a gay man, honestly, come on, grow up a little bit, for goodness sake. You're a bit old for this. Philip, who is 60 now and still doing trimming your bush gag. So Holly goes, and then he laughs and all the rest of it. And you think, I'm not surprised, Pip, you're single. I mean, come on, mate. Who in God's name is going to go out with a sort of a patently, you know, mid-20s person? And so they were sort of they made a big gag about all of this. And he went on. Philip introduced a segment on trimming your bush. I mean, you do realise it's, you know, what I tell you what they should do, really. They should strip Philip Schofield off, hold him to the ground, rip his pants off and go, well, you don't, you know, and do it that way. If you really want to make a bit of a fun joke about it, Pip, come on, mate. But I should imagine white hair on the head. And that's only on the veranda. Could be a little bit embarrassing, couldn't it, really? Meanwhile, Stormzy joins the Brit Awards set list as the organisers confirm he will perform at an annual event, like it was we were waiting for God to come down from the Mount of Olives or something. But he is the newest performer to entertain the crowd at the Brit Awards. And my friend, Professor Jonathan Shallett, he loves the Brit Awards. He loves it. He loves it, seriously. Where he gets his energy from, I've got no idea. He's a little bit like Dawn Neeson. They seem to have boundless energy. But if you work in the media and you love what you do and you reap the rewards, why would you not have boundless energy? I don't understand it, really. Kelly Brook admits she was unhappy in her 20s and felt she could breathe after turning 40. I see her here all the time. She's lovely. Absolutely lovely. Lovely and charming. I can understand a lot of people going, I'm not very happy in my 20s. I didn't sort of achieve anything. But when you get to your 40s and your 50s and your 60s, believe you me, you reap the benefits. You reap the benefits. It's lovely. It really is. Freddie Flintoff is putting his TV career on hold. This is after the horror Top Gear car crash. I advised him to do that. I said to him, really, this is too dangerous. You know, we've seen other people who've done Top Gear and he was airlifted to hospital. And then his family said, stay away from work as he recovers. Absolutely. It's too dangerous. It is too. That's why you get stuntmen, and even stuntmen lose their lives. You know, you have to be very, very careful. Stacey Solomon, I saw her programme on the television the other day. It's where they go around to somebody's house And they take all their stuff out and then they put it and they say, right, throw this away, throw that away. This family, they weren't married. And they had, I've never seen so much stuff. Seriously, rubbish. Soft toys, like there was hundreds and hundreds of them. But it was very boring because the trouble is Stacey Solomon gets a bit overexcited. Oh, I can't believe it. Oh, I knew all these. Oh, dear. It's a bit as exciting as Joe Swash, who's 40 and can only manage to get a children's television programme. Slightly scary. But then Joe is a slightly scary person. Ekin Sue is going to be a nun. They're making a big deal about it. This is only in a routine. So she's going to be a nun in the Sound of Music routine after the Ofcom complaints. That's how desperately tragic her career is. She's going to be doing probably, you know, she's going to transform into Sister Maria. Oh, Maria. She's got 112 Ofcom complaints, which, to be honest with you, is like a rank amateur. And this is, she says, whenever you see in the performance, whether I'm playing Britney Spears or Maria from the Sound of Music, I will be that person. No, you won't, dear. I'm so sorry to explain that. It was like Cheryl the other day said she's still getting messages from Sarah Harding from the other side, which, of course, is a lie. She isn't getting any messages from Sarah Harding.
When I was working, I was very, very difficult with bells on.
Join me, Rachel Johnson, as I sit down with women at the forefront of change. Recently, I was joined by Delia Smith.
I wanted to try and take fear out of cooking in people. I wanted to try and teach them. And I was single-minded in it. I never was quiet, you see. I was a pain in the neck.
Rachel Johnson's Difficult Women.
Listen to the full podcast and subscribe now on Global Player.
Oscar and BAFTA-nominated actress Leslie Manville is going to play Cynthia, who is Amy Winehouse's grandmother. They're doing a film about Amy Winehouse. To be honest with you, I think she was on so many drugs. I remember seeing her on stage. Great singer, but just drugs completely destroyed her. If she hadn't done drugs, she'd be alive today. Pamela Anderson says she had a frisky evening on Mezcal with Julian Assange. There's just basically nobody she won't go with. Do you remember she said she'd been with Sylvester Stallone and he went, this is a lie. Because Pamela Anderson, who's 55 but pushing about 90, has got no idea. And she's flogging a book. So she's got to come up with something. The book is called Love, Pamela. And she's talking about her ties with Assange. And so she had a frisky evening with him. For that read, you know, they had sex. A frisky evening, dear, is jumping over things. And that's frisky. You know, if you're talking about sex, why don't you just come right out with it? You know, you made a porno film. Your acting career was practically flatlined, I'm afraid. And she said, we consumed distilled alcoholic beverage mezcal. And so they had a frisky exchange. You're welcome to him. He's not had a bath in ages, apparently. You could smell him from round the corner. But Pamela Anderson, whose career is based on who she's had sex with, you know, basically, it's all finished, dear. Finished. Nobody's going to buy your book. But, I mean, at one time we had chat shows for people to appear on. There's nowhere for people to appear now. Nowhere for people to appear at all. You know, people used to appear on Alan Titchmarsh, or they would be on Paul O'Grady's show, and then there was Des O'Connor. Now you haven't got anything. You've got This Morning, you know, with sort of Pip and Watsy. I mean, you don't want to be interviewed by the other two because, I mean, they can't do anything without their scripts. They spend all their time. I mean, you know, Dermot O'Dreary, he can't do anything without his script. He literally sits there holding it, and when they're doing an interview and the camera does a pull-away shot, he's sitting there reading it, not even interested in the person they're talking to. Amateur. Madonna has added more stops in London, New York and LA on her anniversary tour. But as I say, you will get another glimpse of the Material Girl hitmaker. I mean, to be honest with you, she's 64. I mean, if she makes it on stage without creaking, you know, we should be in with a chance. And Britney Spears has begged her followers to respect her privacy after obsessive fans called the police. Overzealous people. And she said that she felt like she was being gaslit and bullied. And anyway, it went a little bit too far. The police were called and all the rest of it. Because in America, they're all mad. They're mad as, you know, mad as fools, I'm afraid. Atomic Kitten star Natasha Hamilton, set to join the Real Housewives of Cheshire. What a revolting bunch of people they are. Jack was saying to me, oh, they're doing the Real Housewives of Cheshire. I said, it's been on for years. It is full of the naffest people you can ever imagine. Christine, who is married to No Likey, No Lighty, him, and she appears on it. Talk about bloody boring. I'm not surprised the relationship split up. God in heaven. These people argue all the time. They're all doing one-upmanship. I've got a bigger house than you. I've got a business. I do this. I drive this car. Look at my jewellery. I've got this. My hair's done by this. And then there was a couple of old queens in it too. I don't know what they were doing. What they ever did for a living, we have no idea, but they had matching jackets. But she's set to join them. Very embarrassing. She married a guy called Charles Gay, and they've started filming the new series. It's the series basically looking at the personal and professional lives of several women. And really, they are revolting, the arguments they have. They make the American one somehow look a little bit tame. A little bit tame, but as I say, I don't know what she's doing it for. Perhaps she needs the money, but it doesn't pay that much money. Perhaps she's got a business to promote. And Britain's Got Talent's Francine Lewis. If you've never seen her, check her out on YouTube. We used her on Five's Company years ago. Years ago. She was, you know, so when she appeared on the television and Simon Cowell pretended he didn't know her, he was lying through his teeth. He knew exactly who Francine Lewis was. Exactly. You know, she's been an impressionist for years. And we used to use her all the time on Five's Company. It was her and a number of other comedians. We'd have them on there. So when she appeared on the television and Simon went, oh, right, so-and-so, he pretended he didn't know who she was. What a liar. What a liar. Anyway, she doesn't regret exposing her husband's cheating live on air. She hit the headlines after accusing her partner, Joel, of texting another woman. But as I say, what do you do with these people? She said, I don't regret exposing my husband's cheating live on air. But watch her. She's very good. She does a very good Anthea Turner. She does a very good Jordan, you know, and she does quite a number of very, very good impressions. It's not a huge act, but the impressions are spot on. And she's very good. So go to YouTube, type in Francine Lewis, Britain's Got Talent, and you'll find yourself agreeing with me going, you're right. Bloody good. Bloody good indeed. Listen. Have a fantastic weekend. I mean, have a fantastic... I'm hoping the weather is going to be a little bit better than it has been of late. And we shall wait and see. I mean, I'd like some sunshine for next week, but I'm not holding my breath. Seriously, I just don't think it's going to be very likely. I'm more interested in the tanks arriving in the Ukraine and the fact they've now got to teach their tank drivers to drive the ones coming in from America because they're quite complicated. You don't just get in and steer it with a steering wheel. It's handles. Handles backwards and forwards inside. They're very cramped. Very, very cramped. But as I say, Putin losing the war big time. I bet, as I said before, he thought he'd walk into Ukraine. They'd all hold their hands up and go, OK, we give up. Not a bit of it. The president is still there. You know, the Russian forces are dropping like dead flies. But at the end of the day, Putin, whether he lives another year, who knows? Who knows? Who cares? But he's not winning the war, I'm afraid. I mean, if he wants to resort to nuclear war, well, then things could change and he could move the goalposts. But with America and Germany and us and a few other people involved, he's really fighting a losing battle. He needs to hold his hands up and do the decent thing, which Hitler did. But you can't have everything, can you? Anyway, have a lovely weekend. I look forward to talking to you Monday. And don't forget, download, download, download as much as possible. The more you download, the happier your life will be, I promise you. Until Monday, when we meet again and mull over what the weekend has brought. I don't know. Are we resigning? I mean, could we be lucky and get that? I don't know. I have a feeling he'll sort of cling on. They all do for a little bit until eventually it just gets completely untenable and the Prime Minister goes, listen, sling your rook, pal. You've brought shame on the family, I'm afraid. So have a good time and remember, wrap up warm.
Leading Britain's conversation, LBC.